Now that I'm a little bit older, I still jump, but it's a slower jump. But I am glad that I can help out. When Timothy called me, I told him I got that one open. So if y'all still want me, I'm here, and I'm glad to come and be a part of your assemblies this morning. You are always in my mind. I have not only good friends here, but I have faithful Christians here that I've known through so many years. And let me tell you that that is a tremendous blessing, not only for you here locally, but this speaks volumes to other brethren as you continue as Christians serving the Lord. You know that I travel a lot into Latin America. And at least once a year, I go to some place and someone will always come up to me and kind of a little bit of shame with a little low tone of voice tells me, well, Brother Reuben, you know, we're still here, you know, like it was maybe, you know, something that was not expected. It is expected for brethren to still be in the church, to still be faithful, to be serving God. So whether we're many or whether we're few, whether we're old or whether we're young, it doesn't make any difference. Let us keep in mind that the best thing we can do is serve God. And I know that you know that, but I wanted to congratulate you here publicly because of your faithfulness. And I know that it takes special effort for some of you to attend and to come and serve God and worship together. What a beautiful opportunity it is for us as Christians to sing, to pray, and to remember the death of Christ that has made possible our salvation. Jesus was praised during his lifetime by people that heard his sermons. And I know that you are familiar with what is commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapters 4, 5, 6, and 7, these are chapters that introduce us to this man called Jesus Christ. Not only do we know about his life, his temptations, his efforts to do the will of the Father on earth, but we are fully aware of that sermon that begins in chapter 5. And it continues in 3 chapters according to Matthew. But I want to call your attention to the latter part of chapter 7. Just to help us understand and remember the importance of the words of Jesus. Now, this is Matthew writing this comment. And so, verse 28, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You may read that and you say, well, you know, that means that people just love to hear what he had to say. No, it means far more than that. Here were people that were objective thinkers. Here were people that were objective judges of what Jesus had taught. Now, not only that, but they were smart hearers, because they were able to distinguish between the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of the scribes. Now that already tells us something about this man, about his teachings, that his word stood out as something that was pure, that was true, that touched the hearts of people. And people were able to see the difference in the things that Jesus taught. We don't have the time, and we're not going to make the time, because I'm sure that you have other things to do today, and probably as would be the case, this lesson would run until tomorrow. But here, in this particular chapter 7, verses 15 through verse 20, we have words of warning that Jesus speaks to the people of his time. The Sermon on the Mount was a sermon that had a variety of teachings, had different contexts, had different applications. But here, beginning with verse 15, we're going to notice that he has a warning to these people that were listening to him. Let me read from verse 15 to verse 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. And I know, as I just read this, that you are already familiar with these words. These are not new words. I'm sure that you have had the opportunity to study. This particular section of the scriptures is what I like to refer as to the parable of the fruit tree. Jesus had here several things in mind. And I know that you can see at the very beginning that in his mind was making sure that people were aware that not everyone that spoke was like him. Not everyone was true. Not everyone was honest. Not everyone was sincere. Not everyone was speaking the words of God. He wanted people to know that. And he warns people, beware of false prophets. And I want you to notice that he was direct. He was simple. He did not hold back. He called it like it is. And he wanted people to notice that. It was not complicated. He did not complicate the matter. He just spoke it and said it and left it there. But I want you to know that there are several things here in this particular section that teaches lessons, that teaches us principles that we ought to not only remember as we study this particular section of the New Testament, but we will look at some of these things and notice the simplicity of the teachings of Jesus. The first thing that I want us to notice is that it was not just about trees and fruits. That is, when he was talking about these things, he was not trying to convince the farmers or even the city boys like myself that this is how things are. You know, he was not concerned to telling people about trees and fruits. That was not the purpose of it. But he uses this particular example to teach a lesson that is spiritual in nature, that is direct, that is full of importance in their lives. And the first thing that I want us to look at is this. Jesus, when he spoke these words, he was pointing out that you need to be careful about appearances. He was teaching that appearance is not always truthful. And boy, what a lesson that is. That we must see things, but not as they appear to be. Now that's a difficult lesson. I know it is. It's difficult for some, but then it's easy for others. But you know, this is true in everything in life. But spiritual things are just things that need a little bit more attention. Because as we live as a Christian, or as we live as one wanting to become a Christian, we need to be aware of the fact that not everything is as it appears to be. Look at verse 15 of chapter 7 again. Beware of false prophets who come to you. How are they dressed? In sheep's clothing. But outwardly they are ravenous wolves. Here's a distinction that Jesus is making using these false prophets as an example. How do they look? How do they dress? How do they appear? How do they talk? What do they teach? What kind of life do they live? You know, these are just so simple of a lesson to learn in our lifetime as it was during the lifetime of Jesus Christ. Some years ago, I started visiting in the country of Cuba. And I was making several trips every year. And everyone was that I spoke to about my trips was concerned about my safety, but also concerned about how things were in this small island of Cuba. And of course, Fidel Castro stood out. Everybody wanted to know about this man, this dictator. And this man, all of his lifetime, he would dress in a military attire. That's how he would appear on TV in any occasion. He was dressed as he was a military man. Well, one year, they were able to convince the Pope of the Catholic Church to visit Cuba. And when the Pope arrived in Cuba, not only I, but nearly every person that had eyes and saw that picture on TV were surprised that Mr. Castro did not have on a military suit. He was just like you and I here. He had a regular suit with a tie. Now, why did Mr. Castro do that? Well, to appease people. To show people that there was another side to him. That he was not the dictator. That he was not the military man. He was not the hard man. He was not the murderer. He was not the thief. He wanted to appear a man all dressed up to receive the Catholic Pope. And people ate it up. There were people that were fooled by that. And that's not the only example that I can give you, but there are many other examples. And Jesus is using this to prove to people that appearance is not always truthful. These false prophets were dressed as though they were not going to harm a person, but in reality they were wolves. What did Jesus have to say about this later on in John chapter 7? You know the words. What does he say in verse 24 of chapter 7 of John? Look at this. Do not. And if that's all that we understand, that means don't do it. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. That's important. People like you and me need to be fully understanding of the fact that things can appear to us in a different way. We need to look beyond the clouds. I told some people not too long ago, because speaking with them about a problem, I said, you know, we need to know what color the moon is on the other side. We need to investigate. We need to have a mind that is ready to look at things as they are and not be deceived by the appearance of things. But there's another lesson here that I want to call your attention to this morning. That claims people make are not always truthful. And I underline the word claims. And you know, it's so good that we don't have to go very far to understand this. Because here in Matthew chapter 7, as you know that I read to verse 20. Let us read verses 21, 22, and 23. And this is just following what Jesus has said. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Again, you see how simple that is? Is that complicated? Is that difficult to understand? That Jesus is telling these same people that he was warning in verses 15 through 20 to be aware of false prophets. Now he's telling them people will claim. They will argue. They will defend. They will stand firm in certain things that they believe. But be careful. Because what people claim to be, what they claim to do, what they claim to know, what they claim to practice, may not always be true. God loves an honest heart. But it's so sad that there are people that are honestly in error. There are people that are sincere, but they are not worshiping God in truth and in spirit. Isn't that something? Isn't this a simple lesson to learn? That what people claim to be is not always true. And again, we must understand that when Jesus was teaching this very simple fact to people, he wanted to make sure people were not ignorant of his ways, that they were not in error, that they were not following a false prophet. I've often said this, and I'll say it again, and I'm sure I've said it here in the past. When have you heard a false prophet tell you, I am a false prophet, and I stand right here in front of you, and listen to me carefully, because I'm going to lie to you until I finish this lesson? You know that ain't going to happen. No false prophet is going to stand like that. But you know, and I know, that they're going to do their best to say things in such a way. Even Satan did that with Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. He quoted the scriptures. What does that teach us? What does Jesus want his people to know? That we need to be aware of the fact that it's not only important that we say things as they ought to be said, but they ought to be truthful. It ought to be right. It needs to be biblical in every sense. But let me point out to you another lesson that stands out in this text. Jesus speaks about judgment here. And he wants people of his time and even us today that we are judged by our fruits regardless. And I have underlined the word fruits. You will read in the New Testament so many other scriptures that teach and point to the fact that we must be doers of good deeds. That we ought to be doers of biblical deeds. That's what that means. Not only good for the person, but is good in the sight of God. That's what it teaches. And this is another important fact, that people like you and me are judged by what we do. We can claim, we can argue, we can dress, we can do any of all of the above things that we just mentioned. But when it comes to the final point in life, we will be judged by our fruits. Since the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, you know the story of the beginning. You know the story of the creation. The Bible teaches us that when God created man, when he created the world, when he created every living thing, when he did things according to his will and knowledge, he did something that is very simple to understand. Listen. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And so it was. Seed according to its kind. We know that. When you plant a watermelon seed in the ground, or in a pot, or wherever you want to have a watermelon plant, and of course you want the watermelon, you plant that seed in the ground or in the pot, in the dirt, in the soil, and you see it, and it's going to come out a plant right after its kind. You're going to be surprised if it's an onion plant. You're going to be surprised if it's a cucumber plant. You're going to be surprised if an elephant comes up from there, because you know that it will produce after its kind. That's important for us to recognize. And what that means is that what you sow, what you do, what you plant, the fruits of that is what God is going to look at. And he's going to see and judge each one according to what he produces. Go back to Matthew chapter 7 and look at verse 20. What was the conclusion of all the things that Jesus taught in this very compact, concise teaching? Therefore, that is the conclusion. The final point is, by their fruits you will know them. Boy, now that's simple, but that's profound, because you are what you are. That's it. There's nothing else. There's no way to twist that. There's no way to spin that. There is no way to make things different than what they are. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's what Jesus was trying to get his people to understand. Do not be deceived. Do not be fooled by all of these things that people claim, by the things that people want you to see. This is a beautiful lesson relating to these spiritual matters. But I want you to notice something else. There's another lesson here that is also quite important. That the quality of our fruit is determined by our character. Look at chapter 7 of Matthew again. And look at verse 17. Now this is Jesus. This is not Reuben talking. This is Jesus saying to his people, "Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." Now, Let me tell you a story. We bought a house about 35 years ago here in Oak Forest. And the seller mentioned to us that there were some fruit trees in the backyard. And he said, those are plum trees. He said, and they give plums. Well, we didn't buy the house because of the plum trees. We didn't buy the property because of that, but that was something that he mentioned to us. And I remember that 35 years ago. When those trees blossom and when it produced plums, they were rotten, good for nothing plums. They were not eatable. The only ones that had a feast were the birds. They loved those rotten plums. We opened up a few of them and they were infested with this worms that somehow or the other appear in these plums. And my good wife asked me, well, what's wrong? I said, well, the tree is sick. Well, call the doctor. No, don't call the doctor. I said, just cut it down. This tree will be too expensive to make good. It will take a long time for a tree of this nature, when it is bad, the fruit will never be good. So we cut it down. You know that bad tree, sick as it was, would never produce eatable, sound, tasty plums. Never would. We couldn't expect that. And you don't expect a good plum tree to give you rotten plums. You expect that good, sound, healthy tree to give you good, healthy, tasty, sweet plums. Jesus used this illustration, again, not to teach people about plums and trees and fruits, like I said at the beginning, but to deal with spiritual matters. That once you become a Christian, that the quality of our fruit is determined by our character. How important this is in every phase of our life as Christians. Who we are inside makes a world of difference. One of the most beautiful characteristics of Christianity, New Testament religion, are two things. Now listen, this is not complicated. Number one, worship God in truth. That's number one. Worship God in spirit is number two. When we sing, when we pray, when we participate in the Lord's Supper, when we give on the first day of the week, when we meet like we are to listen to God's word, God is not only concerned with how we do things in the outward manner, but Christianity puts an emphasis in the things that move us to do those things. Are you listening? Our attitude, our heart, our disposition. Christianity is not a ritual. Christianity is not just to come and do something and do it and let's go home. It's got to be done from the heart. It must be done with the intent to worship and obey God. So what we do when we sing, is it from the heart? When we pray, is it with sincerity? When we participate in the Lord's Supper, do we do it with the right mind and the right attitude? These, my dear brethren, are things that are so important in our lives, because these are the things that God is looking at. Not only the fruits that we give, but our heart and how we are doing things in the sight of God. In Luke chapter 6, I want us to look carefully, and I have verse 45 there, but let's begin with verse 43, which is a parallel passage to Matthew chapter 7. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Now that's what was my point about that plum tree. Remember that? Well, this is Jesus saying it. Jesus is making the point. In verse 44, for every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, this is Jesus now, look at the application. He brings it home right away. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Now that's just, again, as simple as it can be. Jesus is teaching us a tremendous lesson. Let's do things right. But let's do things right from the very beginning, from the very bottom of our heart. That our attitude, that our disposition, that our heart be right with God. Because this is important. One other lesson that we have here from this particular teaching is the fact that our bad fruit will condemn us just as much as not bearing good fruit. And that's what Jesus teaches. It is important, surely, that we do those things that are right in the sight of God. But go back to Matthew chapter 7 and look at verse 19. Every tree that does not bear what kind of fruit? Good fruit. He's not leaving out the word good. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down. That's not what he says. He puts the emphasis on the word good. It's cut down and thrown into the fire. This is simple language. This is simple English. A lesson so powerful as this. And that's why I have underlined the word bad. Our bad fruit will condemn us just as much as not bearing good fruit. This is a lesson that follows closely at the things that we have said. Now let me bring this lesson to a close here real quickly. I want us to go back to chapter 7. Because after Jesus made all of those statements in verses 15 through 20, and then verses 21 through 23, he brings this to a conclusion in verses 24 through 27. And this is his saying. Therefore, you notice that word? Therefore, that's a conclusion. The conclusion of everything that I've said, Jesus says, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. What does that mean? It means that this is just not beautiful language. And it is. I said it at the beginning. And I read verses 28 and 29. How the people were astonished at these words of Jesus. And you'll hear people, even our constitution, even our government, even our presidents, even our senators and our representatives, even the mayor, even the dog catcher. Everybody is familiar with Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount. And all those are tremendous words of Jesus. And they are. But what's the point? Do them. That's it. Is there anything else? Well, Jesus said it. He said it. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, in any way, what an opportunity to demonstrate doing the will of the Father. Shall we stand and sing?
Brightly beams the Father's mercy.